Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's midday with Jamie and Weir. Jamie is out. It's just me, Jonathan, with you today. And joining us on the show, I'm really happy to have her in studio, is Kim Whitman, who's the co-lead of Smartphone Free Childhood U.S. Thanks for joining us, Kim.
Thanks for having me.
You. So we'll get into the PSA that you guys have out for this, but it's incredible. Obviously, as a parent, I have a 9-year-old and a 16-year-old. One of the biggest challenges is just getting them to pay attention as far as getting them off the phones. We were watching a game last night, and granted, for a lot of the Chiefs game last night, maybe I didn't want them watching. I didn't want them being exposed to that.
Right.
But it would have been nice for them to just, you know, watch a game with their dad. It's impossible to get to just do basic things like that anymore.
It's impossible. You know why?
Mm.
Because these screens and products are designed to be
addictive.
Right.
So let's get into that. Just how dangerous, not just annoying, but dangerous is it to allow your kids to have a phone or an iPad or, just a laptop?
You know, all screens have harms, right? Mm-hmm. If they're connected to the internet, it's the internet that causes those issues. So there's harms from exposure to porn and other harmful content. There's sextortion, there's cyberbullying. I mean, the list goes on and on. Just the exposure alone to the adult content that's not appropriate for kids is problematic. So it gets to be really challenging. And at Smartphone Free Childhood US, we're not just worried about smartphones, we're worried about all screens. So as you said, tablets, iPads, all of the screens can be problematic.
Well, it's crazy. I was just talking to you about this before we got on air, about how I went into the router settings for my house a couple months ago and started limiting, especially what my 9-year-old is able to access, like certain websites, but also how much time he's allowed to even spend on Wi-Fi. And what I thought was crazy when I went in there is like, how many freaking things do we have connected to the internet in this house? It was probably like 15, 20 or so. And I was thinking, this would be like 5, like the TVs, my phone, my laptop, my wife's phone, my 16-year-old's phone. And I don't know. I can't remember what else. Oh, the iPad. And then it kept going and going and going and going and going and going. And I was like, I thought we left all this stuff back in Boston. It's still connected here.
Still here. And most families, I think research says that most families have 17 different devices
that
in their home
low.
On average.
I wonder if that's self-auditing. Yeah. I really wonder if that's actually, if that's just people like, oh yeah, let me count it up. Yeah, 17. I bet it's closer to 30.
It could be.
Because if you have like an Alexa, if you have your phones, if you have iPad, if you have a TV, and then you have maybe an Apple TV or an Amazon Fire Stick, all that stuff is connected to the internet.
And how many kids you have, they each have devices, right? Computers, phones, all of the above. It adds up. I was hoping to ground our conversation with some data.
Can I share? Love it.
So the research shows that age 11 is the average age that children receive a phone. So that means half of them are getting it under 11, right? I mean, that could be 7, 8, what have you. 95% of teens ages 13 to 17 are on social media, and nearly half say they're online almost constantly. nearly 40% of kids ages 8 through 12 use social media. They're not even supposed to be.
8 through 12?
Yes, on social media, right? Yikes. And 40% are using it. 72% of American teenagers say they have used AI chatbots as companions, right? This is a whole new world for us now. There's also the staggering increases in mental health concerns, 134% increase in anxiety and 106% increase in depression.
Yeah. All right. So there's a couple things there to go into. Let's talk about that last stat, though, on the increase in anxiety and depression. It's so easy to fall into the, as far as the anxiety part is concerned, it's so easy to fall into that trap, especially if you're on social media, because one of the easiest way to farm for engagement is catastrophizing. So it could be the world is going to end. Whoever is president is, you know, the Antichrist. What's going on right now is going to be the end of the world. Could be the Chiefs lost last night, so the season's over. You're going to get so much more attention, and the algorithm is going to place you so much higher if you catastrophize and put the most negative world-ending scenarios into your opinions that it's almost addictive. But the problem with that is it's one of the most anxiety provoking thought patterns is if you constantly are thinking the world is a horrible place and there's nothing we can do and we have no control over it, and you're rewarded for having that kind of thinking.
Definitely. And think about how that plays out with our children, right? Our anxiety with our children and what they're out in the real world doing. The book, The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt, talks about Gen Z being the anxious generation because of their addiction to these screens. But also, I think what plays in is the parents are so anxious that they want to be tracking their kids 24/7. So they're giving their children these devices at younger and younger ages, which is scary.
So Kim, let's talk about that. I gave my 16-year-old a phone a while ago. We lived in Massachusetts at the time. And the reason I gave him the phone then was because he was walking home from school. So we thought, well, you know, give him the independence. Let him walk home. Kids need that. And I'm a big believer in kids need unsupervised play. Like we're way too much up in their business way too often. And then we kind of, in a counterproductive way, mitigated, if not just defeated that idea by then giving him a phone so we could see where he was every second of the day.
Right.
And then I remember specifically one time freaking out because for whatever reason, I know the reason, he didn't charge his phone. His phone died on the way home. And I didn't know where he was. And instead of going, okay, well, it's only a 10-minute walk. He'll be home at the same time he comes home every time. Because his phone died, I freaked out and went out and started looking for him.
You were an anxious basket case.
I went insane. And I found he was just on his way home. But then I was like yelling at him about like, you need to make sure your phone's charged. Why do you think we gave you that? And he was like, I'm sorry. Like, it just happened. And I was like, that's inexcusable. And it's one of those things as a parent, sometimes there's performative anger where you're like, I need to make you think that I'm angrier than I actually am so that you don't do this again. But another part of me was like, this is so ridiculous that I'm yelling at him about his phone dying. Because God forbid I not know where he is every second of the day.
Right. When we were kids, we ran around all the time, right?
Till the lights came on.
Exactly.
Yeah, till the street lights came on.
Exactly.
So let's talk about that, though. How parents fall into that trap all the time of I need to know where they are all the time. I need to know where my kid is. I need to be able to control that, my environment, and to ease all of the stranger danger fears and everything like that. But it's counterproductive.
It is, for sure. And I would argue that the real world is safer than what they have on that device. If they have a smartphone that's connected to the internet, if they're on social media, the exposure and everything that they're having on that phone is more dangerous, right? It's more dangerous than being out where there are neighbors and playing in the neighborhood or walking to school, right? And there are also alternatives to smartphones. We don't have to just hand them a fully internet-connected phone. There are phones with no internet and other options, dumbed-down watches and
AirTags, you know.
Yeah.
It's not, I actually low-jacked my 9-year-old. That's what I called it. I put an AirTag in his backpack. And It's not great because it doesn't, it's not as good as a phone, but it's also, it's just some peace of mind. And it's just as good. And it's, and to your point, it's better than having a phone. Because the real world dangers that we are, grew up, you know, as somebody who grew up in the 80s and 90s, stranger danger and all that stuff. We're so worried about the van without any windows, luring kids into it, which is incredibly rare. Most kidnappings are not done by strangers. They're done by people you know. You're much more likely to be hurt by somebody you know than a stranger. That van probably isn't on your street. And if it is, it's probably just some guy doing construction. You know, it's just somebody mowing grass.
Right. That's the media telling us it's not safe out there, right?
Exactly.
Putting forth that fake image.
Because they need, you stay scared, then you keep listening. You stay scared, you keep watching. But the real threat, back to your point and back to all of this, is the real threat is coming through their phones. So you're worried about the guy in the van. You should be worried about the Russian hackers and the pornography and all that stuff. And in fact, you guys have a great PSA with Smartphone Free Childhood US. You have a great PSA that we're going to play here in a second. It's very funny, incredibly well done, and highlights the real threat to your kids. So I think Quentin has that right now.
Hey, kiddo. It's about time for bed, okay?
Okay.
Well, remember, there's a box in the corner over there with all the pornographic material that's ever been made in the world, even the really weird stuff that could scar you for life. I'm trusting you not to look in there, okay?
Okay.
Feelings are for losers.
Oh, and this guy's gonna be in your corner all night just randomly spewing out hateful things. Just ignore him, okay? While I'm thinking of it, there's an order form on your desk where you can purchase illegal drugs. The mean girls from your school are gonna be standing there talking about you all night. And this Russian hacker's gonna keep asking for your password.
I'm not a hacker. Amazon customer service.
Just need you to ignore him, okay? Love you, buddy.
We ask too much of our kids when we give them a smartphone. Let's change the norm. Together.
Maybe we go around the room and share social security numbers.
Join the movement at smartphonefreechildhoodus.com.
Yeah. I think if anybody who hears that PSA, Kim, is going to go, well, yeah, of course. Like, that's all the... I think it will make people think twice about the devices we give our kids. But why would it take a PSA pointing out the obvious for people to realize that?
Great question. Great question. I don't know. But what's great about the story is Tim Mason, who's the writer and director, the creative genius of the PSA, actually grew up in Kansas City.
Yeah.
He's in Chicago now. Him and Lisa Masur was the executive producer. And Tim has young kids and was just constantly, this was the conversation among his friend group, right? This problem with phones and everything. So this was a passion project. He filmed this PSA in his house and one day with his daughter and friends. And then Lisa and Tim approached Smartphone Free Childhood in US and knew that our mission aligned with the PSA, and they gifted it to us. And we released it, I think it's been 2 weeks now. And after 1 week, it had 7 million views.
Wow.
So it's resonating.
Yeah, it's really well done as far as like the way the video shot. It's hard to get kids to be good actors, but the kid is phenomenal at it. I like the fact that you had a Russian with an actual Russian accent, not an East German accent, which is usually what we hear. But I better ask you this. We'll go to break real quick and then come back. We shouldn't rank the threats that necessarily that the kids are facing, but what do you think of all of the things that are on the phone, all of the things that are on in technology as far as kids are concerned? What do you think actually does the most damage?
I'm going to turn that around and say what they're missing out on.
Fantastic. We'll talk more with Kim Whitman, the co-lead of Smartphone Free Childhood US, in just a few minutes on Midday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, happy Tuesday, everybody. Thanks for joining us. It's Jonathan with you. Jamie is out today. In with us in the studio, though, is Kim Whitman, who's the co-lead of Smartphone Free Childhood US in studio with us. Thank you so much for joining us, Kim. Really
Thanks
appreciate it.
Thanks for having
it. Me. So before we went to break, I asked you a question. I said, what do you think the biggest threat as far as all the stuff that kids are exposed to on the phone is? And you said you wanted to turn that around on me.
Right. It's what they're missing out on.
Yeah.
Because if they have a phone, it consumes them. Their every moment. I love the quote by Glennon Doyle. She says, I find myself worrying most that when we hand our children phones, we steal their boredom from them. As a result, we are raising a generation of writers who will never start writing, artists who will never start doodling, chefs who will never make a mess in the kitchen, athletes who will never kick a ball against a wall, and musicians who will never pick up their aunt's guitar and start strumming.
Wow. Right. Because when kids do that stuff, they're doing it because they're bored. They need to entertain themselves. It's kind of like when you have a baby and they're crying, you can go in and comfort them every single time. And as soon as they make a sound, you go in and you check on them and they're okay. Or you can let them soothe themselves to sleep. You can let them cry a little bit, you know, so long as it's not going on too long, and they will go back to sleep. And that's how kids learn to sleep.
That's a great analogy, because when they're bored, they won't stay bored long. They'll
right.
find something to fill the time, something creative.
And at that point, my son, my 9-year-old, I told you I was restricting how much time he spends on the internet through our router, because you can go into the router settings and you can find their devices on there and then restrict how long they can use the internet. And when I first started doing that, I was like, he's gonna go nuts. Like, he's going to set the house on fire. I'm going to wake up and he's going to be standing over me with a hammer. But that didn't happen. What happens is when the internet kicks off for the day, he grabs a pencil, he grabs some paper, and he starts drawing and he starts writing. He starts coloring. He starts doing creative stuff that he used to love doing before he discovered the Xbox and iPad and all that stuff.
Right. That's amazing. And we ask too much of our kids, right, when we hand them a smartphone, just like the PSA says. When we hand them that device, we still expect them to play and be creative, but it's such an addictive device, they can't, right?
Yeah. And that is such a key word in this.
Addictive.
Addictive. Because it's addictive for us as parents, and you wouldn't give your kids alcohol. You wouldn't say, hey, here's a pack, Johnny, go smoke. You wouldn't give them drugs or anything like that. But we're giving them this thing that we as adults with fully, most of us, developed brains aren't able to handle. Right. How many of you, honestly listening, how many of your lives are absolutely dominated by that rectangle, by the phone, where one of the most dangerous things, I have a car that when I'm at a light, it beeps when the light turns green, which is awesome. You know why it's awesome, Kim? Because I can sit there on my phone and not worry about backing up traffic behind me. I wait for
right?
the bing, put my phone back down. But how many times are you at a green light and waiting for the person ahead of you to go, and they're not going because they're messing around on their phone?
Right.
We can't even put it down while we're driving.
There are spaces, especially with kids, where we just don't want phones allowed, right? And car time is one of them. We have great conversation with kids, and they mm-hmm. experience the world around them when they're not staring at a phone in the car, as well as in the home, right? Bedrooms, bathrooms, any private spaces, or mealtime, right? We're killing conversation when we allow those devices, whether it be mom, yeah. dads, or the kids at the table.
So if I'm somebody, and I am, I'm somebody who has a 9-year-old who is like, I want a phone. Like, my friend has a phone. When am I going to get a phone? And it's especially hard because his brother also has a phone.
Who's much older.
He's 16. How do you fight back against that? Because there is kind of like a there's Munchausen's by proxy. This is FOMO by proxy, where it's fear of missing out for your kids, where you're worried that they're going to be made fun of, that they're going to be belittled. And, you know, at the heart of it also, you want to be the cool parent who gets them the cool thing.
Right. Well, I would argue the definition of parent is saying no. And I say to my kids that I know too much to allow that. Right. And I also think it's really important to reach out to your kid's friends' parents, right? Likely he's not the only one without a phone.
Oh, definitely
right?
not. No.
So find those other parents and you guys like stick together and say, we're going to delay giving our kids these devices till as long as we can, right? And to form that community, and it makes it so much easier. And then you know he's not alone.
Yeah. Any advice on for parents who maybe have given their kids phones who want to start scaling back or maybe just take it away?
It's possible. It's hard, but it's possible. And your kids will thank you later. They won't now, but they will later. So we have resources on our website, smartphonefreechildhoodus.com, that you can search out on the website. We have a parent locator map if you're looking for people, other parents in your community. We have a map where you can find a group that might already be meeting in your area. And really, it takes that support, right?
Yeah.
I love the saying from years ago about it takes a village mm-hmm. to raise a kid. I think it does even more now.
It absolutely does. And the problem is that we're becoming more and more isolated.
Because of the devices.
The village becomes Minecraft. As far as kids who are a certain age, for instance, a 16-year-old, being able to get these devices, is there any age you would say that's okay? Like a kid at this age can have one? Is 16...
We get asked that question a lot,
yeah.
And honestly, there is no safe age, right? The harms are present at all ages, and so you really just need to decide what is best. What we are seeing, though, are a lot of parents are delaying longer. Parents with kids that are, say, 8 and under, they're looking at our teenagers going, ooh, I don't want that for my kids. I want to delay longer. Some are choosing to delay through high school or to 16 when they're driving.
I hit the roof. Last week with my 16-year-old because he got up from the couch and there was a phone was just laying on the couch. And I like picked it up. I was like, this isn't your phone. What is this? And he's like, oh, it's my old phone. And I was like, why do you have your old phone on you? This is what he was doing. He was taking his old phone to school with him along with his current phone.
Burner phone.
So that when he goes into class, because we're in Blue Valley, and the rule in Blue Valley is every class has the caddies. So he would put the old phone in the caddy so it looked like he was putting something in there, and then he'd have his own phone. And this is a kid who will swear up and down, I'm not on social media. I'm not on X or Facebook. Well, I don't know any kids on Facebook, but Instagram or Snapchat or any of those things. I'm not. I just like looking stuff up. It's like, yeah, but it's a distraction in class. That's why they don't want you to have it. It's not good for you to have it in class. Like, well, what if I need it? It's in the caddy if you need it. That's why they let you keep it in the caddy and not the principal's office.
Right. Kids' job is to push the boundaries, right? So they're going to do those things. They're going to get burner phones or hide, trick the system, play the system, right? We actually advocate for bell-to-bell phone-free schools, so no phones for the entire day where the phones are inaccessible. It really alleviates so many problems and distractions, not only for the students, but the teachers. And we currently have 18 states that have bell-to-bell laws.
Missouri
one of them. Yeah. Is one of them, right? Not Kansas. We're going to work on that in 2026. But it's really the improvements. It's crazy because they didn't have to, they didn't say why we need phones in the classroom. It just happened, right? And now we have to prove why they shouldn't be in there when it's obvious. Like kids are, they have FOMO between classes, right? They can't wait to check their phone. But if all kids don't have their phones for 7 hours a day, then that FOMO goes away because they know their friends aren't on it.
Right. That's a great point. Yeah. No kids in the school have their phones on them. But yeah, if you're putting them in a caddy, the first thing they're going to do is start soon as the bell rings, just check them for that. Real quick, I wanted to talk about this is a new study found that social media is declining all across the world, except for in one country, the United States. It is at least not going up. It's not getting worse here as far as social media usage. It's starting to flatline. But every other country is starting to see declines in use of social media. In America, we are seeing more decline with younger people than older people. Older people refuse to give it up. But younger people, I think it's kind of, maybe it's like how a lot of things have been. Like if you grew up in the 80s, you knew how bad cigarettes were versus somebody who grew up in the 60s
and 70s. From the PSA, right? Yeah. This is your brain on drugs.
Right, exactly. or Yul Brynner talking about it. But yeah, increasingly they're seeing it going down with younger people. And hopefully we'll see rates declining in the United States for everybody because it is an addictive thing. And it's crazy that there's like literally no regulations on it really whatsoever.
Right. It's a technopoly.
Is that an encouraging sign? And what other encouraging signs are you seeing?
I think it is encouraging because other countries have put in laws like Australia to raise the age to 16 that you can be on social media. Mm-hmm. And France and Spain, I know, have...
I think 16 is still too young, but that's...
I'm with you. I have a 16 and 18 year old not on social media. Mm-hmm. And they're great, right? They're fine. You can do it. But I think the encouraging thing is more and more people are finding out about it. Just that 7 million people watched our PSA means, okay, the conversation is happening. That's what we were wanting. Now find a friend to talk to about it. And like you were asking about for your son, what do I do? Well, you find other parents that are wanting delay too. So I think they see our teens and they don't want that. They don't want these addicted kids who get out of high school and they can't have conversation with people, right? They don't have face-to-face skills and independent skills and all the things needed to be happy, healthy, functioning adults. Right. So it's encouraging to know that parents of younger kids are wanting to change the norm.
Yeah, because that's where it has to start, is with parents. Kids aren't going to change it themselves, obviously.
No.
All right, Kim Whitman, co-lead of Smartphone Free Childhood. It would be weird if it was, hey, we're handing out smartphones for kids. Thanks for talking to us for the last 20 minutes. Anyway, Kim Whitman, co-lead of Smartphone Free Childhood US. What's the website? Where can people go find out more?
SmartphoneFreeChildhoodUS.com.
So easy. Thanks so much for joining us in studio. Coming up, we're going to be talking about the Mark Sanchez victim suing Fox because somebody has to have enough money to sue him. We'll talk about it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, sure. You're playing the NFL on Fox Music. Real quick, before we get into the Mark Sanchez story, there was big news in the NFL. Joe Flacco was just traded from the Browns to the Bengals. Now, let me ask you something, Quentin. They play in the same division. Do you think it's smart to trade your, I guess, now backup quarterback to the other team?
Yeah, the important context there is the Browns. The Cleveland Browns
traded their quarterback.
The quarterback who they just benched.
Yes.
Because that's how bad he was. to a division rival.
And Dylan Gabriel wasn't that good in that game either. It would be like, yeah, it'd be like the Raiders. It'd be like, it would be nothing like this, but it would be like us sending Mahomes to the Raiders. Like, obviously that would never happen.
It would be like,
if Mahomes was down to three fingers and one arm, we wouldn't send him to the Raiders.
It would be like when we had Matt Cassel and we like benched Brody Croyle.
There you go.
And then we sent Brody Croyle to the Denver Broncos.
That's like sending diseased blankets over the wall.
Yeah.
That's what that is. That is catapulting. That's the Mongolians catapulting plague victims into Chinese cities. That's what that is. Yikes. But sure, I'm sure that'll work out great for him. By the way, yeah, I just went crazy 12th century history to describe a Joe Flacco trade in 2025. You think I care? I'll say what I want to say. Coming up, right now, we're going to talk about this. It was a big story over the weekend. Mark Sanchez, who was a former quarterback for the New York Jets and also was an announcer. I'm assuming he's been fired or is going to be fired from Fox. He's with the NFL on Fox. He was at a Marriott in Indianapolis over the weekend, apparently got drunk, got into an altercation with a grease truck driver where Mark Sanchez, ended up getting stabbed by the guy. And initially, when the reports came out, everybody was like, oh my God, poor Mark Sanchez. He seems like such a good guy. And then we found out more. Found out that Mark Sanchez started the altercation, according to video and reports. And the guy that Mark Sanchez beat the 69-year-old man within an inch of his life, and the guy pepper sprayed him, and that didn't stop Mark Sanchez. And then he had to stab Mark Sanchez as well. And the guy also ended up getting stabbed himself in the process. It's a bloody, disgusting, horrible altercation. And I'm assuming Mark Sanchez will be relieved from his roles, but I guess they're waiting for further reports on this, unless I've missed something. Well, TMZ is now reporting that the victim is suing Mark Sanchez for injuries from the Saturday incident, but it's interesting what his claim is. His claim isn't just Mark Sanchez. He's also claiming Fox in the lawsuit as well. He's saying that Fox needs to be sued for hiring him, quote, despite his propensity for drinking and or harmful conduct. So I guess when we talk about this, if we want to parse it apart, is your employer responsible for your actions when you're off campus? It wasn't like he did this in the booth. It wasn't like he told, who was he doing the game with, Kevin Harlan? I don't remember whoever he was with. It wasn't like, no, he works for CBS anyway, but it wasn't like he was like, hey, hold on a second. And he started beating a camera operator.
Yeah.
He did. Granted, it was a work trip, but should Fox be sued for this?
I mean, I think this is one of those instances you throw it out the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah. Cause they have the money.
I would be interested if, let's say hypothetically, Fox paid for his dinner, including his drinks. If Fox had paid for that at the hotel, is Fox responsible then?
It's a good question. If they knew that he had a drinking problem,
right,
and they didn't do anything about that,
like, are they enabling him?
If they knew he had a propensity towards violence, which this is what's so crazy about the Mark Sanchez thing.
And he's a quarterback.
It is reminiscent of OJ in that respect. OJ had been married before Nicole Brown. There was a horrible incident with her before the murder where he had beaten her within an inch of his life or her life. It was really bad. And the pictures from it were horrifying. But we didn't know about that. Public didn't know about it. It was a different world. We didn't have the ability to just look this stuff up back then. Nobody knew. I looked into Mark Sanchez. I did as much research as you can possibly do these days. And there's nothing bad in his past other than in 2011, when he was in his 20s, he dated a 17-year-old girl. It's legal in the state of New York. Anybody who's a big fan of Jerry Seinfeld knows that. And it also, he used PEDs in like 2018. That's the only, there was no propensity towards violence. And so back to my point about OJ, it was like that where it's like, this just came out of nowhere. Like this beating on this guy is really bad. The guy's in a neck brace, his face is all torn up. And like, for what? For having a grease truck that was blocking his car?
I also have another question that I literally just thought of. He's that drunk.
Yeah.
Why is he going to his car?
Right. Good point.
So
I'm assuming it was the hotel he was staying at.
Right, but I mean,
nobody goes to eat at the Marriott. Like, hey.
But if he's going to his car,
you know, it's a good
and
place.
He's that drunk,
Marriott. Yeah.
Then he's presumably getting in his car to drive.
Yeah.
Is the bar, is it, we talk about
Dramalus.
Yeah, bartenders over serving people, yeah. And then they can get sued. I don't know what the rules are in Indianapolis.
Yeah, go after Marriott.
But are they responsible for, if they can be responsible for him getting in a car crash,
mm-hmm.
are they responsible for a drunken fight outside
of the bar? That is a fascinating question. Because I've only heard dram shop laws applied to driving. But I've never thought of it like that. Like, what if you get into a fight? What if you murder somebody? What if you rob a bank? And to get your courage up, you went to the bar across the street from the bank first. Are they responsible for your actions, or is it just driving?
I mean, it would be weird if it was just driving.
Mm.
But on the other hand, I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't count for just driving, because it's one of these instances we didn't think that, I don't want to say a loophole, but the law doesn't cover all of it.
Dude, fighting. I'm looking this up. Actually, we're going to go to break real quick, and then I'm going to look this up, because that's a great question. And I've not, when we've talked about dram shop laws, not thought about that. Like, what other actions are the bars responsible for? Are they also responsible for fighting, for anything you do after you leave that bar drunk? I, by the way, I'm not making the case they should be. I'm just talking about what the law is and what the law says. I think that if you're a bartender and you have a busy house and you accidentally overserve somebody, I think a little bit of grace should be given to you. Unless you're serving somebody who is obviously intoxicated, it's hard to keep track of just how much you've served them and how drunk they are. Having said that, there's also personal responsibility that needs to be factored in to anybody, and it's up to them to not drink. But do the dram shop laws also apply to fighting or robbing banks or what Mark Sanchez did? Let's talk about that. Coming up in just a few minutes on Midday. All right, we kind of had a fun legal discussion here and there, which is always fun to people who have media degrees. I went to school, took journalism and all that stuff. But in no way, shape or form consider myself a journalist. I'm not that responsible. But we were talking about the Mark Sanchez case and how he, beat up a 69-year-old man, beat the poor guy within an inch of his life. And now that guy is suing Fox, who Sanchez works for, as well as Sanchez. Oddly, we were talking about not the bar that he was at. Sanchez was visibly intoxicated when he left this place. Did they overserve him? Now, here's the question. Does Indiana have dram shop laws? Yes, they do. That's a bar or social host can be civilly liable if you prove they had actual knowledge the person was visibly intoxicated and that intoxication proximately caused the injury. Apparently, that's a statutory test for it, right? So if he violated that, if whoever served him saw I was drunk and was like, it's Mark Sanchez, what am I going to wind up tomorrow on, you know, them talking about during the Colts game, talking about how, I'm feeling great today because guy wouldn't serve me booze last night. I don't know.
And on the video, he's drunk on the video.
Yeah.
So we know
he's visibly drunk. He's
visibly drunk on that video on the dock. So I think for our conversation's sake, we can check that one off the list.
And by the way, we were talking about whether dram shop laws apply to fighting or anything else you do. Yeah. Apparently anything you do after you leave the bar, whether that's driving or fighting or robbing a bank, you can be held liable for if you're a bartender. That's way too much responsibility to be putting on bartenders, I think.
So we can check that one off the list too.
But yeah, it's interesting though, because it was at a Marriott where this whole incident happened, and he was in the restaurant. I believe he was in the restaurant of the Marriott, unless I'm remembering things wrong, but that's everything I've written. Everything indicates that that's where he was at. They got deep pockets. You're not suing them too.
Maybe we're smarter than the lawyers.
I sincerely doubt it.
You never know.
I think we're just missing something.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day, unless it's a digital clock, and then you're only right once.
Unless it's flashing 12.
And then
that's not broken. That's just not set. So yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting case, and I wish this guy the best. And personally, you're not going to find a lot of sympathy for me towards Fox or Mark Sanchez in any of this, because my point on this has been by pointing out how this just seemed to drop out of the blue sky because Sanchez seemed like a nice guy. Looks can be deceiving. And I don't think this is the first incident. I don't think this is the first time that this. Didn't we not learn that during all the Me Too stuff? Remember how what a great guy Matt Lauer seemed like?
Right.
And then it turned out, no, he had a button on his desk that locked the door so women couldn't even leave. Charlie Rose, oh my God, such a fantastic interview. Sexually harassing and assaulting women for years. Hey, you know what? You're my favorite quarterback? Deshaun Watson. Just a grade A upstanding guy. I don't know why my cousin, who's a masseuse, cries every time I mention his name, but other than that, he seems like a great guy. Yeah, that is just something we need to learn as a society. Just because somebody seems nice doesn't mean they are. That's why I try to come off like the biggest jerk possible so that you never, ever suspect that of me. I don't let you down when you find out all the skeletons in my closet.
Yeah, except, you know, they're Halloween skeletons.
It's really bad. Like, I'm so lame, guys. I wish there was something. Almost. There's nothing. One time I yelled at my dog. He wouldn't stop barking. Is that enough?
And then you felt bad about it.
I do. I feel bad about it every time, but he won't shut up. Anyway, Dan and Parks are up next. Jamie will be back with me tomorrow at 10. Till then, see you guys. Love you. Bye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.